Grammar Girl here. Today, I'm going to cover two short topics. Last week, I had a terrible cold. The kind of cold where you're too tired to even watch TV. So I spent about 20 hours lying in bed listening to audiobooks. I picked a series by Mary Jane Davidson about a reluctant vampire queen who loves shoes, because my husband had already downloaded 7 of the books, so I knew there were enough to keep me entertained through my cold. We're sponsored by Audible, which has over 50,000 audiobooks you can choose from. And I have a special deal where you can try out Audible free and get a free audiobook to keep by signing up through audiblepodcast.com/GG. That's audiblepodcast.com/GG. So while I was listening to Undead and Unappreciated and Undead and Unpopular, I had two happy little surprises when the main character asked the kind of questions that you listeners ask me. So to thank her for getting me through my cold, I'm going to answer those questions now. Here's the first one from Betsy, the main character in Undead and Unappreciated.
"We can't let him live," Tina said. "Sure we can." "Majesty, be reasonable. I know you were fond of the child, but he is a dangerous child."
"I still consider him a friend, okay? Friends have falling outs. Or would that be fallings out?"
Poor Betsy, not only is she under pressure to kill her friend, but also baffled by a question with no good answer. Dictionary.com and Merriam-Webster Online both show fallings out as the first plural option, but also show falling outs as a second option. When you're looking up something like that in a dictionary, the first option is supposed to be the preferred form. But the problem is that a different dictionary, yourdictionary.com, based on Webster's New World College Dictionary, shows the plural options in the reverse order. A Google search shows that fallings out is the more common form on the internet, but not by much, and neither plural is used very often. There were only about 3,000 incidences of fallings out, and only about 2,100 instances of falling outs. Could it mean that most people have no more than one falling out? That would be nice. I bet the author had Betsy express her uncertainty about how to make falling out plural, because she'd looked it up and couldn't find a good answer herself. We have phrasal verbs, such as throw up and make out, that are made up of a verb followed by a preposition. But as far as I can tell, nouns that are made up of a verb followed by a preposition aren't called phrasal nouns. They're just considered compound words. I think they should be called phrasal nouns, but I bet I won't win that battle. Anyway, I tried to think of other compound words that end in prepositions besides falling out, to see how they're made plural. Two I came up with are push-up and hold-out. I can barely do one push-up, but I bet my husband could do 50 push-ups. Push-ups, with the S after the up, is clearly the preferred plural. I've never heard anyone ask, how many pushes up can you do? The same is true for hold-out. I'd ask, how many hold-outs are there who think it's not okay to split infinitives? The S goes at the end. So I've decided that if I ever need to make falling out plural, I'll go with falling outs. Geez, how many falling outs did you guys have? My reasoning isn't bulletproof, so don't take it as law. But it's simple, and in the absence of a definitive answer from dictionaries, I think it makes sense. Here's Betsy's second conundrum from Undead and Unpopular.
"I checked my watch. It was almost 6 o'clock in the morning. Probably not a vampire. They didn't like to be running around so close to sunrise. As a rule, they were more flammable than gasoline. Or was it inflammable? I always got those two mixed up."
Again, Betsy is confused with good reason. Flammable and inflammable mean the same thing. They both mean easy to burn. Inflammable is the original word. But then in the 1920s, according to Merriam-Webster's Dictionary of English Usage, the National Fire Protection Association started encouraging people to use the word flammable instead, because they were worried people could mistakenly think inflammable meant not flammable. They saw it as a safety issue. Academics were inflamed, get it? Because they didn't appreciate the Fire Protection Association messing with the language and promoting corrupt words. Perhaps they thought dumb people should die a fiery death if they went around holding matches to inflammable objects. Regardless, linguists have groused about flammable in usage books ever since. If safety is important and you really want people to understand that the thing you're talking about could burst into flames, it's best to use flammable, or some other phrase like burns easily. In other cases, you can use whichever word you like. If you'd like to hear what happens to Betsy in the Undead series, you can get the first book free when you sign up for a new free trial at audiblepodcast.com/gg. That's audiblepodcast.com/gg. I'm excited to be able to tell you that the audiobook version of my book, Grammar Girl's Quick and Dirty Tips for Better Writing, was just nominated for an Audi Award. That's like the Oscar of audiobooks, but I have a feeling the after parties aren't as good. You could also pick that book up as your free audiobook at Audible or get the print version wherever fine books are sold. Finally, I've been getting great feedback on my free daily email newsletter. People say they love getting a daily tip by email, so if you haven't signed up yet, head over to the Grammar Girl section at quickanddirtytips.com and sign up. That's all. Thanks for listening.